Oh my. Just remember what our Lord's done for us. That was just beautiful. I love the words in that song. I love the words in that one. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 21, and also put your finger in Galatians chapter 4. We'll be in Galatians, but we're going to read a portion in Genesis chapter 1 first. The name of the message is Sarah and Hagar, Law and Grace. Sarah and Hagar, Law and Grace. And I hope that after this message, we can rejoice in the wonderful salvation that Christ has purchased for us, because we are so free, beloved. We are so free in Christ. I don't think we quite understand how free we are in Christ. It's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Genesis chapter 21, we'll read verses 8 to 14. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which had been born unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. So it was grievous to him that he had to cast out one of his sons. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman shall I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took the bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. A long time ago, when I was out in Oregon, I'll never forget when I asked a preacher why he didn't preach, supposed preacher, why he didn't preach Christ in the Old Testament. And I said, Christ is all through the Old Testament. He said, well, you're an allegorical preacher. Well, that's a comment to a grace believer. We believe that God's... Look what we're going to look at right here. He said, I'm a historical preacher. You're an allegorical preacher. Look at this in Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 to 31. Tell me ye that desire to be under the law. Do you not hear the law? So here's a question posed to someone who thinks that they can satisfy God's law and justice based upon their works, based upon supposedly fulfilling the law by their doings. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory for those, or for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is in Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage to her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of the promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. There are two things in the Bible, two things that are in direct contrast to one another. Law and grace. Salvation by law keeping, or salvation by grace alone. They are in utter contrast. Folks think that they can gain merit and favor with God by their works, which will ultimately, left to themselves, lead to their eternal doom. We know that there are only really two religions, aren't there? Works or grace. Works or grace. Salvation by your supposed works, or salvation by grace alone, in and through the obedience and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation by grace alone. This is one of the things that we learn as we grow in grace. That our Lord Jesus Christ purchased our salvation. And we learn as we grow in grace this vast difference between law and grace. We are taught this. And he who learns the distinction learns of the freedom that the believer has in Christ. And oh, what freedom we have, beloved. Now look at verse 24. It says, which things are an allegory for those, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Agar. Now an allegory is a story in which the characters are used to picture other real characters and real actions. Paul is going to bring forth here the fact concerning the aspects of the birth of Abraham's two sons, that they had a vastly broader meaning than the historical record of their births. The earthly aspect of the birth of these two sons, the true purpose of the historical episode, convey the spiritual truth that is brought forth in our text. Remember, Paul's writing to the Galatians. He's writing to the Galatians here. He's taking them to the Word of God to show them that the works of the Judaizers, who say you must be circumcised to be saved, the works of the Judaizers, those who add something to grace, be it nowadays baptism or whatever else, are false teachers. They are not proclaiming the grace of God in Christ. Anyone who will have you add something that you have to do to the work of Christ is proclaiming a false gospel. And for the believer, I know this, for the believer, when we get yoked under what we have to do, it is like chains upon us. But for the believer, we're free in Christ. And you know what people try to do? People in religion try to yoke you with things you got to do. Don't let them. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. We're free in Christ, beloved. We're free in Him. He's purchased our eternal souls. So the issue still today with us is bondage under the law or liberty in Christ. Bondage under the law or liberty in Christ. God promised Abraham a son by his true wife, didn't he, Sarah? He promised him that. Some time had passed and no son had been born, so Sarah gave her servant Hagar to Abraham to bear him a son. And Ishmael was born to Hagar by Abraham in the due time, the promised son Isaac was born to Sarah. And the son of the servant, Ishmael, mocked the child promise, and proved that the two could not live together. The two could not live together. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which was she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. So Hagar and Ishmael had to be put out of the household. And who reigned as the son? Isaac, son of the promise. He alone is the heir of Abraham. He alone is the child of promise. Paul said that these two women represent two covenants. Hagar the servant represents the covenant of law, of works, and the ceremonies from Mount Sinai. And in this covenant of law and works, God says, do this and live. Sarah, the true wife of Abraham, represents God's eternal covenant of grace in Christ and Christ alone. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 7 and Hebrews chapter 13. This covenant was the first covenant that Sarah represented. It was not made between God and man, but beloved, it was made between God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's called the everlasting covenant. It's called the everlasting covenant in Scripture. In Hebrews 7:22, it says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of what? A better testament. A better testament. Then turn over to Hebrews 13:20. Hebrews 13:20. Look at this. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through what? The blood of what? The everlasting covenant. God the Father made a covenant in eternity with the Son and the Holy Spirit. God gave the Son a people. We know that from Ephesians 1:4. We're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. He gave us to Christ. Based upon absolutely nothing in us. Nothing in us. And the Son redeemed us. And the Holy Spirit regenerates us. And this covenant is called the everlasting covenant. And the shed blood of Christ to ratify thy covenant, who is the Christ who is the surety of a better testament, that's the everlasting covenant. Our Lord spoke of those who were given to Him by the Father in the everlasting covenant. In John chapter 17, our Lord's high priestly prayer in verses 2 and 3, this is spoken of our great King. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. Who has all power? Christ is proclaiming there that he has all power. He has all power over all flesh. We're powerless, beloved. We're powerless to save ourselves. We're powerless to do anything. Well, we sin, don't we? We're good at that, aren't we? Yeah, we're real good at that. That's our natural ability. We do that because that's how we're born, dead in trespasses and sins. But we are powerless to save ourselves. We are utterly, utterly hopeless and helpless in our natural state. And as we looked at in Sunday school, we have no desire to even come to Christ. None. No one seeketh after God. None. None that understandeth. None. Christ has all power. What? That he should give eternal life to as many as what? Thou hast given him. When were those whom he here give power to come to him, when were they given to him? In eternity. In eternity. My, this grace is amazing, isn't it? It's wondrous grace. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee. What does he do? He reveals himself to us, doesn't he? We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and we flee to Christ, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This covenant of grace brings forth the works of Christ. As it said of one commentator, it says, do this, O Christ, and men shall live. We live based upon what Christ has done. We live based upon what Christ has done. Turn to Romans chapter 3, if you would. Romans chapter 3. God gives eternal life without the works of man. It's all based upon what Christ has done for us. The fact that he fulfilled the law and justice of God in our place. In our life, he totally fulfilled the law of God. In his life, he totally fulfilled the law of God. He lived the perfect, sinless life. We can never do that. Never. And in his death, he died as our substitute. So he, again, was both our substitute in his life and in his death. Oftentimes you hear about him being the substitute at his death, but he was also our substitute in his life, doing that which is impossible for us to do for us, weaving that coat of righteousness which we're clothed in. Romans chapter 3 says this, in verses 19 to 24, now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. What does the law do? The law brings us to a point where we are absolutely guilty before God. The law can't save. It can't save. It killeth. It killeth. It brings us to a point where we have absolutely... Just quickly, keep your finger there. Keep your finger in Romans 3:9 with this text. Let's just flip quickly back over to to Galatians, and I just want to read a little portion in Galatians. In light of that, that all the world may become guilty before God. Look at over here in Galatians chapter 4. We're starting verses 1, and we'll just read to verse 6. Look at this. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant. So in our natural state, when we're born into this world dead in trespasses, and we don't know who any of the elect are, do we? We have no idea. God knows. He knows his people. We have no idea. But in our natural state, the sheep of God, the lost sheep of God, you cannot tell one of the elect of God from any other. You cannot tell. Look what it says here. It says here, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until what? The appointed time of the Father. When it pleases God to reveal Christ to his people, when it pleases God to regenerate us by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, the appointed time, the time appointed of God. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. We drank sin like water. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth a son made of a woman made under the law. To what? To redeem them that were under the law. We saw there in Romans that all are guilty before God. Well, he come to redeem his people from their sins, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And look at this. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. Oh my. We cry, Abba, Father. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 3. And it says there, and the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall what? No flesh be justified. Now that's pretty clear, isn't it? That's pretty clear. Yet men still think that they can gain merit and favor with God by their works. Because they can't see. We were talking this weekend, we are wired to work. We come into this world wired to work, dead in trespasses and sins, and thinking we can gain merit and favor with God by our doings. But it says right here, therefore by the deeds of the law, that means our doing, by our works. Therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, in God's sight. None, not one. Not one. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. It shows, remember, it's a schoolmaster. To what? Bring us to Christ. To bring us to Christ. Look at this, though, and look at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, without our doing. Right? Unto all are being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look at this, being justified freely by his grace. God's people are justified freely by the grace of God in Christ. My. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, through his precious blood, purchasing our eternal souls. In Adam we fell. He was in a covenant of works. He was told, do this and you shall live. Eat this and ye shall die. Let us always remember that the covenant of works was revealed first. But before there was ever a sinner, there was a covenant of grace. And we looked at that called the everlasting covenant. Remember, it's been hid from ages and generations. We've seen that in Scripture. But now made manifest to his saints, Colossians says, to Colossians chapter 1. Made manifest to his saints. Oh, there was a covenant of grace, and its surety of that covenant is the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, the people of God were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, before the world began. Before the world began. What a blessed truth. Based upon absolutely nothing in ourselves. All by the mercy and grace of God in Christ. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read that again. We've read it many, many times, but let's read this. This is what the Scriptures proclaim. This is absolutely wonderful. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. If you've been saved, it's according to the mercy and grace of God, and because he chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now note there again, in Christ. That's the key. According to he has chosen us in who? In Christ. In him. When? Before the foundation of the world. That takes man right out of the equation, doesn't it? Not based upon anything we do. God didn't look down through time and saw who would choose him. No. God, when he looked down through time, saw everyone was dead in trespasses and sins. And by his mercy and the grace, he chose a people. My. Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That we should be able to stand in the very presence of the Holy One that we looked at in Sunday school. Clothed in the perfect spotless righteousness of Christ. What a salvation. What a salvation this is. Turn over, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Look at this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. God's people give thanks to God. We give thanks to God because of this truth that God hath chosen us. Look at this. And this is, again, Scripture. This is what the Scriptures proclaim. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath what? From the beginning chosen you to salvation. My goodness. Me? That's what the Scriptures say. And I know you who are his blood-bought people say, me? Yes. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. My. Turn, if you would, to Revelation. Revelation. The Scriptures declare that Christ the Lamb was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world. Again, before there was ever a sinner, there was a Savior. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God's people are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, we saw there. And now we're seeing he's a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Look at this in Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. When Adam fell, God didn't just go, oh, plan B time. No. No, not at all. Not at all. Christ is a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then over in Revelation 17:8, it says this. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall stand out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. My goodness. Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now one more place, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, the Scriptures are wonderful, aren't they? And the believer in Christ sees that our salvation has absolutely no merit in ourselves. And we rejoice. You know, an old hymn writer said, praise God he chose me. Because I never would have chosen him. Isn't that the truth? That's the truth, isn't it? That's the truth. Look at this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, no one can buy their salvation. No one. We are not redeemed by anything in this world, beloved. No silver, no gold. But yet we are the richest people in the world. Far richer than anyone in Christ. Oh, we are so rich in Christ. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Look at this in verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Oh, beloved, he's the Lamb. He's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and give him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Is your faith and hope in God? In him alone? In Christ alone? The believer's hope and faith is in Christ alone. As I've said many times, you take Christ from me, I have nothing. Is it so for you? Is he your all in all? If he's not, I pray God will make it so. I pray he would. Now, Hagar was never intended to be the wife of Abraham, nor Ishmael that promised seed. Hagar was the handmaid of Sarah. So the law was never given or intended to save anyone. It was only a handmaid, a schoolmaster we saw, to bring us to Christ, to point men to Christ, to show us our utter inability to save ourselves. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, and he saith not into the seeds as of many, but as of one, into thy seed, which is Christ. Salvation is in Christ alone. The law, again, brings us to an utter end of ourselves and points us right to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at Galatians 3 again. We see here that the law shuts us up. It shuts us up. It has no saving power. It only condemns. It concludes all under sin, as we saw in Romans there. Law and grace do not mix, beloved. Law and grace do not mix. Just like Ishmael and Isaac couldn't be in the... They do not mix. Those who are of the flesh cannot please God. Do you know God is only pleased in His Son? God is only pleased in Christ. He's not pleased in anyone else but Christ. And oh my. The believer is accepted in the beloved, accepted in him. Galatians chapter 3, verses 21 to 29. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. We know the law is holy, isn't it? Holy. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture, look at this, hath concluded what? All under sin. It's concluded that we're all sinners. Everyone on this top side of God's earth is a sinner. There's only one who ever lived on this earth who was absolutely sinless, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that by the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Note, it's given to us. It's given to us because we don't ever seek it. We don't ever desire it. But God, we saw and we... In Sunday school, thy people shall be made willing in the day of thy power. And we know that. We're made willing to flee to Christ. Grace, we receive grace and faith and repentance is given to us by our great God. But before faith came, we were under the law. That's our natural state. Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Look at this. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. To what? To bring us unto Christ. There it is. To bring us unto Christ. Why? That we might be justified by faith. And who's the object of our faith? Christ. In Christ alone. He's the one we look to. But after that faith has come, what? We are no longer under a schoolmaster. My goodness. My goodness. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be in Christ, then you are what? Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. My goodness. But look at that. Look at that in Verse 25, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The law has no hold on the believer. We're free in Christ, beloved. Now we know we're not going to go out this door and go crazy. We're not antinomians. We don't believe that. But do you know how free the believer is in Christ? Oh, we're so free in Him. He hath set us free from the power of sin, the penalty of sin. The law is holy. It comes from our God. Our God is holy. But we can never be saved by the law. We saw there it shuts us up to Christ. It shuts us up to Christ. It shows us our utter inability to save ourselves. And it shuts us up to Christ, who is the only Savior of sinners. The only Savior of sinners. The only one. Christ. The law is a servant of grace. It's a servant of grace. And when the law tries to be master or equal with grace, it cannot be, because the law killeth. But the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit of God, makes us alive. Makes us alive. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 30 and 31. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Think upon this, Hagar was never free. And Sarah was never in bondage. Hagar was never free, and Sarah was never in bondage. Those under the law are never free. Never free. They are servants to the law. Look at Galatians 3, verses 10 to 13. We see that if a man lives by the law, what must he do? He's got to fulfill it all. Or he's cursed by it. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 to 12 says this: For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Man wants to live under the law, you got to do them all. I got news for you, you can't do one. Can't do one. My. But that no man, what? But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by what? Faith. And that faith is in Christ, and in Christ alone. The only hope for sinners. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Here is the freedom for the believer in Christ. Look at verse 13. Oh, what freedom is proclaimed here. Christ hath redeemed his people from what? The curse of the law. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And so, if the Son make you free, beloved, you are free indeed. You are free indeed. Free in Christ. Hagar must be cast out as well as her son. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. What's the law? The law was just a shadow of good things to come, wasn't it? Just a shadow of good things to come. Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 1 to 10. See, I see my shadow here, but when I step over here, my substance is here. There's the shadow. It's just a shadow. It's not me. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So all those Old Testament sacrifices could never take away sin. But what did they do? They pointed to the one who will. They were just a shadow. Christ is a substance. Christ is a substance. For then, would they not have ceased to be offered? So if they could have taken away sin, they'd stop offering them. Because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sin. But there is in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. They couldn't take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, that being Christ, he saith, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Christ came, what? To redeem his people from their sins, to be the perfect spotless sacrifice. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He died once for all his people. Once. And he cried out, it is finished. And you know what? Finished means finished. And nothing for you or I to do. Salvation's complete. It's finished. The believer just looks to Christ, don't we? We just look to him by faith. Oh, what a redeemer. What a savior. The covenant of works has ceased for God's people. Christ has fulfilled the law in our place. Our works have no place in our redemption. None at all. None at all. It's all about what he did. It's all about what Christ has accomplished. The redemption of God's people is in Christ and Christ alone. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. He reigns supreme, beloved. He reigns supreme as a king in providence and in salvation. In providence and in salvation. God's people, we praise his name for that, don't we? We are so thankful. We are so thankful that he reigns supreme. Absolutely supreme. Oh my. One child is by is Abraham who is or of Abraham who is by the flesh or natural birth. But one is by the promise, and that's Isaac. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outwardly in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. What's that mean? To be born again of the Holy Spirit of God. Is out of the heart and in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Romans 2, 28 and 29. Look at Galatians 7, or Galatians 3, verses 7 and 9. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7 to 9. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? In the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And then look at verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to the seeds, as of many, but as of one. That promise is made to Abraham in Christ alone. And to thy seed, which is Christ. And then look at verse 29 of chapter 3. And if ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. Oh my goodness. Just as the two women are types of covenants, the two sons are types, those who live under each covenant. Ishmael is a man who trusts his own works and seeks righteousness before God in picture by his deeds, by his own works. And Isaac is the man who is supernaturally born of God, born again of the Holy Spirit, picture of the born again believer. The child of promise. The child of promise. Scriptures declare this of God's people, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The believer is born again, regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, all by his power and all by his grace. All his work. We are bought to faith in Christ, and then the believer walks in the Spirit, not the flesh. And who is our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification? Christ and Christ alone. He's everything to us, isn't he? Absolutely. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. In other words, he's everything. He's everything. For in him, the one we trust in, the Lord Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are what? Colossians 2 says this. Colossians 2:10 says this. And ye are complete. Complete there means finished. You are complete in him. In him. Which is the head of all principality and power. Ishmael was the older sin, as the old man is older than the new man, created in Christ Jesus. And we who are God's people, we're born of the flesh first, aren't we? We're born of the flesh first. And then we're born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have a new nature. We become new creatures in Christ. Ishmael is the son of the flesh. Isaac is the son by divine power. By divine power. And we are all born sons of man. And in God the Holy Spirit regenerates his people. And they are called what? The sons of God. The sons of God. Ishmael's attitude toward Isaac is the same attitude the legalist or natural man displays toward the sons of grace today. You proclaim Christ and Christ alone in salvation, and men will despise you for it. Legalists will hate you, and natural man will despise you. But we still keep preaching and proclaim it, don't we? That God might be glorified and magnified. Oh, you're not to find a person in religion to be tolerant toward the gospel of God's grace. You know why? Because the gospel of God's grace destroys his very foundation. And you know what the foundation of a person in religion is? Their merits. You know what the foundation of the believer is? His merit. Christ's merit. Christ's works. All what he's done. So when you preach salvation by grace alone, through Christ alone, it destroys the very foundation of the legalists or the religionists, which are counting upon their merit or their works. Praise God, the believer in Christ is saved based upon the merit of Christ. Based upon the works and merit of Christ, we have received mercy. Mercy. And ye, that meaning God's people, and let us rejoice leaving here knowing this, we who are his born-again, blood-bought people, and ye are what? Complete in him. Praise his mighty name. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your mercy and goodness and grace. Oh Lord, we thank thee that you hath redeemed your people from the curse of the law. Be made a curse for us, O Lord. All the sins of your people were imputed to thee on Calvary's cross, and you bore all that God demanded, all the wrath of God, and all that the justice of God demanded was poured out upon thee. And we are set free, we who are your people, all by the precious sacrifice of yourself. Glory to your name, Lord, and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray.